Go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We're a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here in person with Fat Fingers,
Frozen Sam,
and Sean.
And on Skype we have
also Frozen John.
Yeah, how cold is it in your place right now, John?
Not nearly as cold as yours.
What are we at, Sam?
50. Well, 50 49.
Degrees? 49 degrees? Yeah. It went up.
It's actually
44.
Not bad. Sam's got horrible circulation, nice, so he's got the big mitts on right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, just seeing Sam operate the soundboard with the gloves.
With the oven mitts.
I was trying to type earlier. I was doing like the grandma thing where one finger at a time. And just...
Yeah. So if anybody has trouble listening to the show, it's because Sam is screwing up with all the settings because he's wearing leather gloves that are, I'm sure.
And yet my hands are still cold.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Jesus. Poor bugger. Let me throw something at you guys.
All right.
So I was at my favorite, or I guess cumulatively our favorite deli place in town.
Okay.
And was placing an order.
Yep.
Got a turkey club, okay. It's a solid go-to. Then he asked, do you want mayo on that? What heathen eats a turkey club without mayo?
I don't like mayo, and that's like sacrilegious right there. Like,
I don't eat a turkey club with mayo, but I get some sort of mayo substitute.
Okay.
Like chipotle mayo or honey mustard.
Oh, chipotle mayo.
But you have a cream, some sort of cream to
it. Adds
some
moisture.
Sort of dressing.
Yeah.
It adds the moisture that
it gives you.
Because I don't like mayo. But I've had like club sandwiches without mayo, and I'm like,
no, it just doesn't work. It's
I go light on the mayo.
How do people eat that? That's way too dry.
It's way too dry. The bread's too dry at that point.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's usually toasted. Your turkey club bread is usually toasted.
Mayo, as John said,
phenomenal
on like a BLT. It's like the best thing ever.
Did they offer at our favorite deli? Did they offer chipotle mayo on those sandwiches?
No idea. I know there's
I'm sure they got some
they
hanging
might.
Around.
I know there's a place in Providence that serves sandwiches on pretzels that they do offer it on their BLT, and it is one of the best BLTs I've ever had.
Really sounds like we're fishing for a sponsor right now.
We won't mention you by name, but if you throw us a couple sandwiches.
People who live in the area, definitely. People who know us and listen to us know where this particular deli place is.
Yeah,
but anyway, I just thought it was really good. Stuck with me today.
Yeah.
Anyway, tonight's docket, we're gonna do The Outsider.
Yep.
All of us are kind of caught up with it, and John,
Sam technically is too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. You watched most of the third episode with us. Anyway,
I got the important parts.
Exactly.
That said, John is, I believe, is all caught up. So we can kind of talk about that a little bit. It is a talkable show. I'm not gonna lie. It definitely is.
Yeah.
And then what we're going to do is some news, and then we have a quick John's one-minute Oscar segment. It's probably going to be the case every week until we actually get the Oscars.
Probably.
What else is there?
And then we got two movies that you guys, Chris, you were going to do.
Knives Out, we can discuss.
And then
finally,
you wanted to do just a quick minute on Midway.
Quick minute on Midway. Why don't I do that now?
Go ahead.
Should I just do it now?
Yeah, please. I'm curious.
Okay, so which of you three has seen the original Midway?
I probably have.
I've seen the
point.
Original Midway.
Yeah, is that?
I have.
Not Charlton Heston.
Heston's
in it. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's basically the same events that happened, but there's a lot of filler. They got rid of the worst part of Midway. The love story. They got rid of the worst part of the original. And then they replaced it with kind of a love story, but nothing as bad as the other.
So they got rid of the love story and replaced it.
It's not
a love story.
I wouldn't say a love story. It's more of a family.
Okay. Family kind of love.
Family.
family love.
Sweet family love.
It's not a love. I don't know. It's weird. It's not. I don't know how else to describe it. It's a family. It just shows you what life is like with the family.
All right.
That's beside the point. This movie was good. I'm not going to lie. It was really good.
I think you're in the minority with this one.
I know. Because
it's a Roland Emmerich film.
It was too long. Well, I will give you that.
It's a Roland Emmerich film.
And there is a lot of There's some poor script writing in this,
mm-hmm.
but it fills in a lot of the issues that the first movie had, where it actually kind of there was a lot of battles in between Pearl Harbor and Midway. Yeah. There was a lot. And there was a lot of aerial battles in between those as well. Midway, it made it seem as if it was right after Pearl Harbor. This is exactly what happened. But this one, the newer one, filled in a few of those actual battles. It showed you just fighting in Manila, I think, and then they had a couple in the Coral Sea and all this other stuff. And it filled in so much more, and it made it actually seem as if the U.S. is losing constantly. We need a win here. They showed the Doolittle raid, which was before Midway.
Before.
Yeah, they showed that before, and then they actually, you know, integrated that into the movie pretty well, I'd say. I mean, you're gonna get there's over the top battle scenes and stuff like that, but it's not Michael Bay over the top. It was rather nice.
It's Roland Emmerich.
Granted, it's Warren. You don't want to say that, but it was. I don't know. I think it was well done. They could have dropped the ball, and it could have been one of these really bad movies, but it wasn't great. It was solid. I kind of enjoyed it.
From the way you're describing it, it reminds me a lot of, like, from the 50s to the 70s, you had all those, like, ensemble war movies, like Midway, like Tora, 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 Longest Day,
yeah.
Bridge Too Far, where you just had like a bunch of people in it, a bunch of different storylines, and it was all about a singular event in World War II.
Yeah, this followed, I want to say, three groups of people. It was the Japanese Navy, and then it followed the U.S. Navy. I think it was Nimitz that was the one who was actually out there battling.
Yes.
It was Halsey.
And then it followed the fighter pilots, which were also on the carriers. And then it followed the intelligence officers. And it, you know, I just thought it came together pretty well. I didn't have high expectations for this movie. I just thought, I'm in the mood for a war movie. Let's watch it. It turned out pretty well.
Yeah. Sounds like they just straight up just remade Midway.
I can't wait to tell you guys something about this. But keep going.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things where...
Because, like, if I remember Midway correctly, those were, like, the three... plot lines in Midway as well.
It was exactly the three plot lines in Midway. But, I mean, some things I liked about the original Midway better than this one. Particularly, they didn't really follow a lot of they didn't really announce the other carriers. They just followed kind of the one in this new Midway. It simplified a lot, but it missed out on certain things. Because there was, in Midway, I think the first two carriers launched their fighters before the third. And they just got shot down, all of them. They didn't hit anything. And then the third wave, I think, was the one who actually hit everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't really... They kind of dabbled on it, but I don't know. It was just different. Anyway, my number?
Yeah, I want to hear
7.5.
All right. So I was like bouncing back and forth between the original Midway and the new Midway. And I'll give you the numbers here. Tell me if you see something funny about this. So... IMDb score, I'm going original Midway here. IMDb score 6.8 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes 47%, and 87% of Google users liked it. That is the original Midway. Now let's go to the new one. So the new one, 6.9 out of 10 on IMDb, 43% on Rotten Tomatoes, 88% of Google users liked it. It's the same movie. It's the same, okay, that happens.
It's the same. There's differences, but there's also similarities.
That's crazy. Usually, you get a remake, and people are like, oh, it's worse, or oh, it's so much better. It's like,
you can't remake things that happened. Yeah. It's just hard.
You know what, like, I think really helps it, is that they, like, remade a movie people, like, kind of remember.
Yeah.
It's like, Midway's not really a memorable one of those, like, big ensemble war movies.
Right.
And so it's like, so people are like, oh yeah, Midway was a movie. I remember Charlton Heston being in that.
Yeah, so it's the same movie essentially. So
yeah, it was close. It was you definitely knew it was a remake, but
it's interesting. You gave Midway the same score as Star Wars Episode 9.
It's about the, yeah, I'd say it's about the same.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to hate this movie then.
fun fact about Midway.
Yeah.
It is technically part of the Hawaiian Islands.
Hmm.
How about that, Donnie?
Fun fact. Fun fact.
Didn't know that. Is Midway still
U.S.
a base?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think we have a base there.
Yeah. Is it? Okay.
I mean, why would we?
Yeah, when we can fly around the world on one tank of fuel. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, plus we got bases in East Asia, right. So.
Yeah.
What are the fish going to attack us?
You never know.
Maybe garbage pile in the Pacific's grew a conscience.
Haven't you ever seen Heart of the Sea? Come on.
Now, Sam, what I'd like to move on to now is talking about how to defend Midway when you're playing that mission on Battle Stations Midway, the Xbox 360 game. The real crucial thing here is you have to launch your bombers without any bombs so they can have a protective net of like machine gun fire to take down additional planes. That's the key thing.
It's weird because I'm like,
did you ever play that game? Or did
you own it. Yeah.
I played it.
I have it on my Xbox One because it's compatible. So,
I think all games are
compatible. No, not all, but it's if you owned it on the Xbox 360, so Sam downloaded it on the 360, and so when I got the One and it pops up, like any games that you bought on the 360 from the store, if it becomes compatible, you got it. It's yours. So. Hmm. They had a lot of games that way. It's kind of nice. All right. Well, moving on, I guess we'll hop right into the news here. So first of all, we'll start with Altered Carbon Season 2. So this is with Anthony Mackie. We basically got announcements and everything that it was happening. We all liked it was 2 years ago. It happened two years ago. So
it probably kinda, exactly 2 years. I think it was February.
It was like early. It was February-ish. Yeah, I think it was like February. Anyways, they announced this week that in February season 2 is going to drop.
All right, 2 years.
Yeah, it's okay. Out of nowhere, like they were like, oh yeah, by the way, next month it's like in less than a month it's going to be here. It's like, oh, I didn't even know they were filming.
I love when they do stuff like that.
It's nice.
They just drop it. A month later, you're getting this.
Yeah, I'm excited but cautious because, like we talked about last year and even on the year review, Anthony Mackie and Io just scared me away from this.
I think there's more to play with in the Alter Carbon.
I hope.
Lore, I guess.
Yeah, it's a bigger world. Now.
Bigger world, there's probably more characters to play off of because there was just the two in Io, and the story was dull in Io.
But because the story was dull, you're kind of relying on the acting, and then it's like, but his acting sucked.
So can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Did you what's the word? Forget this show existed?
Yes and no. Every once in a while, it popped up. We actually at work, I want to say like 2 weeks ago, we actually did start talking about Altered Carbon because our boss hadn't seen it yet. We were like, oh, you would love this show because he loves Blade Runner. And so we're like, you would probably love the show. And then we're like, wait, there was a lot of nudity in this show. And then we were like talking about the amount of nudity and we're like, wow, totally forgot these things happened in this movie, in this show.
What, Altered Carbon?
Yeah.
I feel like before this comes out, I might have to rewatch it.
Yeah.
Because there's certain things I remember, like sleeves, but I don't know.
Yeah, there was a lot.
I got to kind of watch it again to...
Yeah. So, but Poe's coming back, which is a good thing, I feel.
Poe.
He's the robot Edgar Allan Poe. Who ran the hotel?
Oh,
yeah, that character's coming
back.
Is
anybody else? No, well, the main guy is
main
gone.
Guy is gone, but he is replaced by Anthony Mackie.
Is Martha,
I don't know if it's the same.
Martha Higgins.
She went to jail, right? The two rich people went to jail.
No. She's the cop.
Oh, the cop. Oh, yeah, her.
She's played
her name
by Martha.
Like Marta.
Okay. Yeah, it's Marta, not Martha.
She's, is it Marta? Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah,
is she back?
I have no idea. That I don't know. I'd have to look that
we'll
up.
We'll just have to tune in.
Yeah, no, which, yeah. I mean, the first season we really liked, so I am excited for season two.
Yep, I agree.
So, next bit of news.
Could I throw out a Netflix recommendation?
Sure.
Real quick, I got two quick things.
Yeah.
I watched the Aaron Hernandez series.
Okay.
It's So I think Netflix is doing this new thing with documentaries, and I'm really happy because, like, some of these documentaries don't need to be 6 hours long.
No.
Like, the one with the crazy, like, yoga village or whatever in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, 8 hours long and, like, just didn't need to be.
Right.
But now they're doing them and they're 3 hours long. So this is about Aaron Hernandez, and, you know, it sort of has a hypothesis about certain things, you know, that mostly that, like, he was gay and had CTE and, you know, just wasn't just a general scumbag.
Right.
Bag, even though he sort of was.
Even though he was.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. Right. I've heard a lot of people talking about it. I will eventually tune into it. So maybe we should watch it.
It's not like OJ Made in America.
No, but I mean, for where we live, we're in the Northeast. Like, it was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, and it's really weird because it's like a bunch of places, Sean, that, like, well, maybe not, so, but like I've literally been to before. Like, there's a gas station he goes before he kills the guy, and I'm like, oh, I've been there a couple times.
Yeah, it's
like
weird.
5 miles away from my house, so, from my apartment.
That's where I go when I'm gonna murder somebody.
Yeah,
what? I'm wondering if they're gonna show the industrial park.
Yeah, I don't know,
because that's right where I live.
So, that's like a couple miles away from you. So.
No, it's like half a mile away.
Yeah.
Wait, so, that industrial park is?
That industrial park is not half a mile. It's more maybe 1.7.
So yeah, just under 2. Yeah, it's much closer than I thought it was.
Yeah. So I'll check it out eventually. Like, I've been busy this week, so yeah, I will definitely check it out.
The other one, and this isn't necessarily a general recommendation, but like Sean, you liked Twin Peaks: The Return, right?
Oh, are you talking about his short?
Yeah, did you watch that?
I have not. I haven't even found it on Netflix. I was like, so I heard about it and I looked for it, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah, so there's this like 17-minute short that David Lynch did, who did Twin Peaks, among other things. Very much he's an interesting filmmaker. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I will definitely check it out, and I think we should kind of like just brush upon it a little bit. I'll check it out too.
As someone who's watched it, I won't review it. I'll just say it's literally it's a black and white thing that's like 15 minutes long.
Yep.
And he's interrogating a monkey that also talks.
Yes.
What did Jack do?
Yes. It's Is it live action or is it animated?
Oh, it's real.
Okay, that's what I thought. I don't know why I thought it was like might have been claymation or not, but like, okay, good that it's real. That makes me happy.
All right, so maybe stay tuned for that. Even though I wouldn't recommend a single person in the audience really listen to or watch it. Yeah. Oh, it's only 15 minutes long, and it actually is like kind of funny. Like it's if you just kind of like let it soak in, like it's kind of funny.
All right.
That's all I got.
Can I give you a train update?
A train
Netflix
update.
Supernatural train update.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Season 2 was better than season 1.
Right.
Like I said in the text messages, I think they found every pretty girl that is in the country and put it on the show.
Every episode is the same. Something happens to a hot girl. Yeah. They show up.
Every episode.
They save hot girl.
It's somebody hits on them. And, One of the two hits on her.
And then they go on their way.
Okay.
And so like, and as my wife mentioned when I mentioned this to her in the car today, I was like, yeah, Chris mentioned this. And she's like, yeah, but the two leads are hot. I was like, oh, you're a Sam and Dean fan, huh?
Yeah.
She's like, maybe. She's like, all right. So it's got the leads for the girls and it's got the hot girl of the week for the guys.
Yeah.
So, this is not at all the show I thought this was.
It's, I'm also running into this issue now where, like I said, I see it on at the gym on the treadmill.
Yeah.
But I'm essentially spoiling it for myself because they have to be in season 10 at this point just by the age.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm on season 2. I'm like, wait a second. Okay, so she's back. Because it's just, I'm ruining it for myself. It's just either watch that or sit there and look at the stupid impeachment stuff going on all the other TVs. I don't want to say stupid, but stupid because it's just the guy.
Yeah, it's just not the getting guy the audio
reading right, yeah. opening statements. It's just, oh man. Anyway,
have you come across the female demon who's a reoccurring character yet?
No. I want to say yes because I feel like I know who it is.
But well. Because you know,
there's only one female demon so far in the first season. Her name is Meg.
Okay, yeah, Meg. Okay.
And I've definitely seen her come back in one of the shows I've watched or the episodes I've seen.
Because at one point, pre-Arrow, Katie Cassidy is like,
I've seen her character. Too. I've already seen that episode.
Okay, well, she comes back a lot. She's in a bunch of episodes.
All right, well, don't spoil it then.
No, I'm just don't spoil. She come back
at some point. Like, given this rate, in 3 weeks, I'm going to be past you. Anyways,
probably.
Sorry,
we took a couple year hiatus from the show. I got to get back on that train.
All right, so you can continue.
Yeah.
Jeffrey D. Morgan came back finally.
Yeah, I guess he came back for the season finale, this last season he was in an episode, or I don't even know if it's aired yet. I don't know.
Okay.
So next bit of news. Taika Waititi is apparently in talks for a Star Wars movie. What are our thoughts?
I'm down. Yeah. Give him a single movie, though.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, it sounds like...
I think he would do best in singular.
It sounds like that's the plan.
One of the Star Wars stories where you don't have to, like... live up to the tone of Star Wars.
Right.
Or tie it, yeah.
He's more of a good, like, comedic, but kind of touchy. Not touchy. Touching.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say, Sam.
I'm not accusing him of anything.
The question is whether or not he's going to be in it. Yeah. Because he's been in everything he's been in so far. Right? Has he been? Oh, was
I'm
he
sure,
in JoJo?
I'm sure he'll...
Yeah. He was Hitler in JoJo.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then, I mean, you just... Like, his best movie, so... was it What We Do in the Shadows, the vampire movie? He's one of the main vampires of the movie. He's even in the show. Like, he made an appearance in the show.
Did he pass that show off?
He's producing it.
Okay.
But he's... I don't know. He might be writing it, too.
From, like, what I heard is, like, he... When it was originally getting produced, I think he was doing Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have a lot of time to do it. But I think now he's a bit more involved.
He needs to be working on Love and Thunder.
He will be.
Yeah.
Did
you see? He got the cover page done.
Oh, yeah.
That was a couple months ago, so. Yeah.
But yeah, if you guys have not seen What We Do in the Shadows, movie, definitely recommend. Show, it takes a couple episodes, but it gets really good. And it is coming back for a second season. I think it was nominated for a Golden Globe this year. I doubt it won. Yeah. But yeah, definitely that's on FX. It's really funny.
Is it Golden Globes or Screen Actors Guild?
SAG just happened.
Parasite.
Yes.
Did you guys see all that?
Go into your Oscar minute.
Oscars minute.
John, go into your Oscar minute now because we kind of spoiled that.
All right, real quick.
Wait, that's what he wanted to talk about?
Yeah. The Best Picture race here. Two things happened this weekend. You had, as Chris just mentioned, the Screen Actors Guild Awards, which, you know, just... is by the actors for the actors, but they gave their essentially best picture equivalent, which is best ensemble, to Parasite, which is pretty interesting, as the night before seemed like 1917 was going to run off after getting the best drama at the Golden Globes and then won the PGA, which is the Producers Guild, which is usually, like, I think I saw something where it was like 20 out of the last 30 or something like that. It's lined up with the Oscars. Like Green Book last year, they were like one of the only ones, like after it got shut out at the Globes, and then that went on to win Best Picture. So 1917 won that. So it seems like it's a two-horse race.
Yeah. Very after surprised on Parasite.
I want to see it.
Yeah, me too.
You guys haven't seen it yet?
No. It's on. You can't rent it yet.
No.
I'd buy it, but I don't know if you'd want to.
I'd buy it because, I mean, I'm a fan of his other movies, so
if
I'd buy it.
If I had a second person in my house who would actually watch it, maybe.
But if I end up buying it, I'll let you know and we can watch it over here.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
We should do a double with that in Midsommar.
Oh, yeah. Midsommar is on
Prime.
On Prime, so it's tempting. So is The Fanatic. We got to watch that.
Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
So I keep looking at these nominations for Oscars, and
it's
11 for Joker, and I'm not sure it's going to win more than one.
No, it's, I don't know.
It's just
it might
odd.
Win one or two. I don't, or maybe so, maybe some of like the technical stuff, like cost, like makeup or whatever.
Maybe,
but even then,
John, what was your other Oscar thing? You said two things happened.
Oh, it was the SAG and the PGAs.
Oh, okay.
And they split it, essentially, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Oh, a tie. Wasn't there a tie at the Screen Actors Guild?
I don't know, maybe.
I thought somebody had a tie for actor.
I don't remember.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
It looks like the actor races are pretty, like, you know, there's not really much of a, we know how it's going to happen. It's going to be, like, Joaquin, Brad Pitt, what's her name? The one who did the, oh my god. I can't think of, fuck.
Scarlett Johansson?
No.
Cersei Ronan?
Renee Zellweger, right?
For Judy?
Yeah, for Judy. And then I don't know who the supporting's going to be Laura Dern for Marriage Story.
Yes, probably. I hope so.
So
that was my pick for best actress of the year, so I hope she wins something. Anyways, all right, so there's your quick Oscar minute. We got two more.
Did they say who's performing for the Oscars yet or no?
Well, like, they usually do all the songs. The original songs or whatever.
Oh, great.
So it Adema Mazim will be there.
please. I really hope that
get Travolta
announces.
I really
just
hope.
Think of the memes.
I hope Travolta does it.
You've got to give him a redemption. Like,
no, I'm not saying no. Think of the memes. Yeah. This last two times, he's made a meme with the screwing up her name and then the awkward kiss.
Yes.
Who's performing the Rocket Man song?
Probably, I don't know. Who actually performs it? The actor? Because it might be him.
Taron Egerton? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
It probably is going to be him. But for the John Travolta one.
I would guess Elton John might be around.
Yeah, oh yeah. But for the Travolta one, I want him dressed as Moose from The Fanatic, like with that like weird bowl cut going on in the beard. I want him looking like that in a suit announcing her on stage. That's what I want.
You can all dream.
I was going to get into our Knives Out discussion, but...
Oh, no. We got two more things of...
Yeah, okay.
So, next little bit of news is Bad Boys for Life, the horribly named third Bad Boys movie.
or the missed opportunity.
Easily missed opportunity.
For the fourth one.
It is killing it at the box office right now, and is getting great reviews, surprisingly, for a Michael Bay film. Especially
he just produced this. He didn't direct it.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
It doesn't. It's his name's attached. That's all that matters.
It's kind of like cancer. He just starts spreading. And
yeah, there's a cameo.
Is he?
Yeah, he has a cameo in it.
But
does he explode?
John, there's this other podcast we listen to. Do you want to see this just after their review?
Did they review it today?
Yeah, they reviewed it today.
I don't listen to a little bit of it.
I want to see.
I listened to the other podcast tangentially related to this podcast.
Oh, you did?
Podcast.
anyway, it's. I after that review, I want to see this movie now, and I might actually go that maybe.
I don't blame you because, like I said, the reviews for this movie have been good.
No, but it's just the way they presented it. Like they actually make fun of Michael Bay in a way.
Okay. Have you guys seen any of the other two?
No, I know the first one was okay, and I know Bad Boys 2 was just like horrible. Like it got bad reviews, so
you just go along for the ride.
Yeah, but it's Michael Bay and what's a movie that I've enjoyed by Michael
Mark
Bay?
Mark Wahlberg.
I know, but what movie have I truly enjoyed?
You didn't like The Rock?
You didn't like Armageddon? Eh.
God, no. Oh, my God.
You didn't like Armageddon?
You mean the one that's used by NASA to prove, like, what you shouldn't do?
It's a freaking movie.
Yeah, I know. That the star has criticized it over and over again to the point where, like, Michael Bay hates him.
I loved Armageddon.
Oh, it's an awful movie.
I thought it was great.
It's an awful movie.
It was such, a blockbuster. It really was.
Yeah, it's sad when, like, the equivalent of that movie was Deep Impact, and, it, like, looking back... Deep Impact was a better movie, but didn't get the love that it deserved. Because
it was, when you watch Deep Impact now, it's on TNT or TBS, it's a six-hour movie. It's a six-hour time slot. It is not a short movie.
I don't remember it being that long. We saw it in theaters as kids, and I don't remember it being that long.
Was I with you? I don't remember being with you on that one. It's a long movie.
Like, it... It's a two-hour movie.
It's a long movie.
How is that a six-hour time slot?
I just don't know.
For a two-hour movie.
I just know that every time I look at Deep Impact, I have to not like use the singular arrow to move to the next thing. I have to use the double, so it skips 2 hours.
I'm looking up how long Armageddon is. Two and a half hours. Deep Impact is shorter than Armageddon, and you're saying it's longer.
It just... All right, fine. Then it seems longer.
All right. Well, it's not as like, things are exploding in space. I can't hear.
I know. Like, that's what makes it awesome.
No, it's not. It's so bad.
100% what makes it awesome.
I can't get past the thing where they're like, we need oil drillers in order to go into space. Because it's easier to train oil drillers to be astronauts than astronauts to be oil drillers.
Nothing's better than the dude running in and saying, we have 6 days until it... Right? 6 days?
Yes, until nothing can be better than that memorable scene that you can kind of sort of remember.
6 days. No, it's not 6 days.
It's not a good movie.
It's in the teens. It's in the teens.
It's not a good movie. I'm sorry.
I loved Armageddon.
That's fine. It's not a good movie.
Are you thinking 13 days? Because that's a good movie.
13. Wait, which one was 13 days?
It's the Cuban Missile one, right?
It's the one with Kevin Costner.
Oh, I love it. I really enjoy that movie with his fake Boston accent, but I really love it.
Not a college quarterback anymore.
I really like that movie, though. I really do.
Oh, man.
What's the... Is it the Benghazi movie?
13
hours.
13 hours. 20, oh, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that Michael Bay?
Yes.
It had all the feels of Michael Bay.
Yeah. Well, anyways, finishing this up.
Jesus, that tangent.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad Boys 3 is actually getting a sequel, so Bad Boys 4 is in the works. So good job naming this one Bad Boys for Life.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be Bad Boys 4 and then just Life.
No, I think the next one's going to be Bad Boys Forever.
Yeah, probably.
It's becoming a Fast and Furious thingism where they just take off the.
It's four bad, four boys.
Wait, was that the fourth Batman?
What?
Was that the fourth Batman movie?
What?
Batman Forever.
Batman Forever was the third one.
Yeah, Batman Forever was the third one.
God,
yeah.
They fucked that up.
Well, then Batman and Robin was the fourth one.
So they really fucked it up.
Yeah. What was the second one? The
second one was Batman. Returns.
Was that Clooney?
No. Clooney was Batman and Robin.
It was Keaton, yep. Kilmer, yep. Clooney.
Yes. God. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Next.
Anyways. Next. Next. The last one. We haven't seen it yet, but this week, they released a trailer for the upcoming Clone Wars return, I guess, TV show, and it has been announced. It is subtitled The Final Season.
See, this is what I hate the most.
I don't mind it. Like, I do love this show. No,
it
but
just came back.
Hasn't this show been on for like 7 years?
It has a bunch of seasons, and the thing is, it needs to end at some point, so might as well go big and go home, literally, like, do a final season, wrap up all the loose ends, like, finish this show. And I'm okay with that.
So we're going to get an Ahsoka death, probably.
No, she does not die.
Oh, in Rebels she does.
Maybe.
Okay.
It's hinted.
You're going to save it for Rebels, though? The Disney show? Well, they're all Disney.
It already happened, but...
Okay.
I'm struggling.
I want them to explain it.
I've been trying to watch it. I'm struggling. I'm only one episode in. That's how much I'm struggling.
Anyway.
Basically describe my experience with Clone Wars.
No, Clone Wars is good. I love Clone Wars. Clone Wars is good.
I've been trying. Like,
I take Clone Wars over the entire new trilogy.
Easily, yes. I agree.
And even some of the, if not most, or all of the prequels. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, no, it does justice to... I think the biggest flaw for the Clone Wars TV show is that it is aired out of order, like chronologically.
But even then, it's not... You can still get into it.
The when they get into Maul, like really get into the Maul storyline, that's when it's actually chronological. But like the first like couple seasons, like there was one episode where a main character dies and you're like, oh, that sucks. Two episodes later, she's alive. And it's like, what are we just going to brush? Like, why is she back? Like, it's not like it's just like somebody in the background. She's a main character in this episode, because it's like there's that senator that Amidala is like, she calls uncle or whatever.
Yep.
And he dies in an episode. And then like half a season later, he's alive again in a main character in an episode.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I stopped. That's right where I stopped is his death. Because I was rewatching it recently. Yeah. And then.
Because, yeah. And I went online. I was like, is this out of order? And I've found is viewing orders, how to actually watch it. And the movie, the Clone Wars movie, not the live action, the cartoon, is actually like halfway through the first season. Like, like you have to watch 10 episodes of it. And then you can, because there's some episodes where Ahsoka Tano is like not even around because she hasn't been assigned Anakin yet.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy, like, how out of order the first, like, three seasons are.
Yeah, but it's stories of the saga. Oh, it's
great. I love it.
Yeah, but me too.
It, like, I wish
wait.
It was in
I can't
order.
Wait until this.
Me neither.
Do they say how many episodes?
No, not that no? I know of. I can check.
I really hope it's, like, 20. Just give us a
full... Yeah, I want
a full
season.
Give us a full slot. Anyway.
So?
Is that it? Is that it for news?
That is it for news. Premiere, by the way, is February 21st. The first episode comes out for season 7.
Okay.
And it has 12 episodes.
Yeah. Hopefully they're an hour.
I don't know.
Or 40 minutes. I'll take 40 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's no commercials, so maybe. Yeah, it doesn't really say any. It just says Tom Kane is the narrator again, so.
All right, let's, let's move on to the show that... The big show, the new
The Outsider
miniseries, The Outsider, based off the Stephen King stories or story. So last time we talked about this, it was brief. We didn't really go into spoilers or anything. We're probably going to talk spoilers. We're not going to rehash everything.
Yeah.
But John, you actually just started watching this, and I want to get your thoughts first.
It's a pretty dark show.
Yeah.
Look, I love these shows that are sort of on their basis just a standard kind of procedural show, even though, I mean, this one gets a little more crazier than that. But these shows that are just, you know, about solving a murder or something like that, where's this sort of darkness looming in the background. And it's really, like, unexplainable, and you just, you know it's there, even though it doesn't necessarily present itself. And I feel like that sort of element just keeps you on edge, because you just have no idea like what the hell is going to happen or what's going to happen next. Like, True Detective season one was like incredible at this, because like halfway in, everybody was like, oh, is there a supernatural element to this? Is it going to get like really fucking crazy? And I won't, you know, spoil if it does or doesn't, but, I kind of miss having a show like that, so I'm very happy that that this show is currently filling that void. Mm-hmm. And I was okay. My only like hang up with the show so far is that I had no idea Jason Bateman died.
Yeah, like second episode, like he dead. That's by
you
the
know,
way. That's
like,
why
he's
you
just like, hey, I haven't seen him in a while. Did he die? And then I backed up and was like, oh yeah, they confirmed that he died. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm like, how I looked at it, I was like, he's in, because when he dies, I'm like, maybe like he didn't actually die, and I was like, he's in 9 episodes according to IMDb, so like maybe he's still alive, and they're like, no, he's dead. I'm like,
well, he doesn't. Okay. I mean, he dies from the wounds he suffered on screen,
right?
But he's not dead on screen. Am I wrong?
Right. Yeah, you don't actually like. There was no funeral. There was no.
I picked up on it because his wife was sitting in the hospital, and they say we're sorry for your loss.
Yeah. Right. But there's
seems like such a very odd storytelling of going about it.
There's other ways that you pick it up too. I mean, it's, you know, the wife is clearly grieving.
Oh yeah.
And the last word, basically the last words my husband said were, I didn't do it.
He wasn't talking to me. He was talking to you.
Yeah.
Like,
so
my husband's last words weren't even to me.
It's just, there's a few points in that next episode that just say he died.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, but, like, I mean, I get that he died. It's just,
it's,
I don't know. It's done very odd.
Yeah. Like, you don't see a funeral. You don't see, you know, like, you don't, not that you don't see a body,
you don't see a dead body. You don't see, you know,
he's still alive last time you see him.
There's no, you know, telling the daughters what happened. Right. Like, you know.
Right. So it's kind of odd. But
this is making me think it's, they want to shift away the main character focus from Bateman
to
another point of interest. You know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Cause
like that's, I mean, I guess what the big takeaway from this, or at least the second episode, when like, man, you know, we were talking about how like the first episode, it's pretty dark, you know, so it's the murder and I guess what, rape of a child, like, yeah. I mean, of course that's going to be a very heavy topic, but then the fallout is just like, oh my god. And I mean, it's really kind of like heavy and dark stuff, but it doesn't, you know, it's compelling. Like, it's not just sort of you know, needlessly morose. It's actually like, I really enjoy the show so far, and it's I mean, obviously it's Stephen King, so it's going to be a good story, and it's, I'm sure it's going to unfold really nicely and everything, but I'm just struck by how much I'm enjoying this.
All right. Yeah, I thought you would enjoy this one.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm in the minority on this.
I don't know. Sam, what are your thoughts?
I've just been bored by the show. All right.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it feels kind of predictable to me. Like, when they're, like, just the fact that the son of the brother of the murdered kid, oh yeah, he shows up and kills Bateman.
Mm-hmm.
And then the father kills himself. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's not dark, but it feels kind of predictably dark.
Right. Well, dark is a means to an end. It's not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts?
Guy in the hood looks weird.
You mean Killer Croc?
Yeah.
With a sideways smile.
Something's like, going on with
that. Yeah, something's going on with
him. I can't wait to figure that out, though.
So my views on this is that is the only thing that's keeping me around. I'm with Sam. I am so bored with this show. Like, really?
I feel like I should enjoy this show more.
It's just, there's nothing happening. And like, when something does happen, it's nothing like huge. So there's that. I don't like, the problem is, other than like the main, like, the few characters, I don't really know anybody else. Like, there's the guy who keeps, like, something's appearing to him and like hurting him, and he's like, oh, stop, like, please. I don't even know who that guy is, but I know he's in the titty bar every episode for some reason.
He's a detective.
That's what I thought, but they like, is that the guy that they were like, that he's the guy who, yeah, but like,
he was like out hunting and they had to call him in,
right? Like, but like, why do I care about this character? And like, he's kind of an asshole at times.
I think they're setting him up.
They're setting him up, but like, I don't care. Like, that's the problem. Like, I don't care about this character. I want them to focus on them solving this crime. And I feel like episode 3, it starts with them, like, they go through the barn, there's stuff going on in the barn, and then they're like, let's go with the supernatural stuff.
They pivot.
And they go with the woman, the PI, who is like, I don't even know, like, how to describe her. Like, she said, like, I could tell you what day of the week May, like, 21st is going to be in 201 years, but I can't tell you what day it is today without looking at a calendar.
I think she's on the spectrum. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't know, but, like she's got an interesting story, but as of right now, where I am with that character, I was like, why'd they call her in? Like,
yeah.
What's the point of her right now?
I'll say this. It's a slow burn.
Easily a slow burn. I'm getting so bored with this show. And if it wasn't for the fact that we were talking about it today, I would have given up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the only thing, and it sucks because it's based on a book. So there's nothing preventing me right now from just going on Google and looking up the book.
Figuring out what happens.
And because, like, I'm at that point where I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just want to know who this dude is and why he's doing what he's doing. And I can look that up with a Google search. And like,
well, I think it's a limited series shot. So if you're honestly out on it, don't feel like you're.
No, if we're gonna discuss it, I'll still watch it. I'm fine with that. But like, I'm just my interest level is just like shot at this point with this show. Like, I'm bored with it.
Plus, I just get this feeling that the mystery is just gonna turn out to be like a bit of a dud.
Like I said, with every Stephen King book,
yeah. he cannot
finish a story
unless they wrote it a different way,
which is true. Yeah, it could be.
Like, it's going to be, I kind of always feel with Stephen King's, some of the mysteries get a little too over-explained.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, sometimes it's best to leave it a little gray.
Right.
And sometimes they just get a little silly.
But, so, at least the first two episodes, didn't this kind of feel like Broadchurch, but with a supernatural element to it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what was really drawing me in. And now it's just like, this third episode was just like, all over the place. For some reason, we're introducing this new character who I don't even know why she's even involved at this point. It's like they were literally like, wow, we're stumped because the fingerprints look weird. Let's go get this psychic lady. And yeah, everybody trust her. It's like, why are we trusting her?
It's who would be hiring, subcontracting a PI?
Right. But like, they were, it's not like they hit a dead end. They just kept getting more and more evidence and were like, oh, all this stuff is coming in. Like, this is interesting. We're figuring it out. And then rather than figuring it out, they were like, let's just subcontract it to this character that we need to introduce to bring in that super element.
I thought they said that in their meeting with the cops and everybody. We need a fresh set of eyes on this.
But why her?
I mean, I'm sure I'm assuming we're going to find
out. Right, right. But like, It feels, at this point, it feels shoehorned in. Like,
she clearly pays attention to detail.
Right.
Well, in this kind of case, it's a weird case, apparently.
It's like, it works for this situation, but she feels so shoehorned in as a character, where it's like, of course there's a character like this. Like, of course there is. Like, it's just kind of stupid.
Why not? I mean,
because it's just it feels like it's lazy just like any writing.
Other show, you have to introduce other stuff to keep it going.
I mean, at this point, it's like, I guarantee you she's in the book, but I feel like that character for a book is just lazy writing.
If they introduced another character, would you say it's shoehorned in?
This one was very shoehorned in because it was like, it was too convenient how, like, because every, like, other than like, The matching DNA, the matching prints, all like everything matching, like where it was like he did it, but here's a video of him on a different part of the country at the same time as the murder. It's like, oh, something's going on that's supernatural, rather than like following with that where it's like maybe there's something supernatural going on.
Yeah, but
the cops need to figure out. They just threw another supernatural thing in there to help combat the supernatural thing.
She doesn't seem supernatural at all. Just seems on the spectrum. No. Like she remembers.
No,
everything.
She's not. No, Sean, she's like autistic. Like
I understand that, but no, but like the way she explained herself, like the things that she can do, it's like she can do these things, and she's gone to see psychiatrists and everything her entire life, and they have no idea why she can do the things she can do. And like, because there's a moment she said, like all the white coats, you know, they all had the same answer after like trying to fix her, and it was the fuck that I know, like nobody had a solution for.
I don't
what
know.
She was
I just
doing.
I just took from that that she was some kind of savant.
I'm with Sean. There's definitely it's not strong, but I'm getting this like supernatural vibe from her.
Like, really? I can easily see that she's on the spectrum, but this is Stephen King and it's a supernatural story, so she's supernatural.
I did not get that feeling at all.
I guarantee
it. I mean, you weren't weirded out by that like scene where she's standing in the hotel room and then everything's happening around her?
Yeah.
And she's just looking at it?
No. I didn't get the vibe?
Yeah,
it's like watch another detective show. They stand there and they relive what's going on.
But like
a beautiful line.
Yeah, but she was like, I can look at a building and tell you the height of the building just from looking at it within 6 inches.
I mean, have you seen the movie Rain Man?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
But like, once again, it's a movie. there's a supernatural thing about her, and the fact that there is something supernatural about her, it just, like I said, it feels like shoehorned in. There should be one supernatural force here, and that should be whodunit kind of thing.
Give me one movie where
exactly
this.
Every movie does this, so how is this any different? It's the same thing. It just feels like lazy writing. It felt like something new the first two episodes. This third episode just felt like it was just following, what you needed to do. Like, oh, we got to check off all these boxes because everyone else has done it this way.
I'm not getting that at all.
Yeah, I understand what your reservations are. I just, like, I feel like it's, like, purposely, like, you know, a slow burn and, like, stuff's, like, you know, slow to come out here. I mean, maybe it's not best as a whatever this is, 8-10 hour miniseries. It's probably better as a 2-hour movie, but I don't know. I'm liking it for what it is at the moment. I think the performances have been really good.
I still can't get over the lisp. I can't.
From who?
What's his face?
Mickelson,
that's it. I was like, Mendelsohn? That's Loki. Yeah, like I can't. Mendelsohn. That's it.
And that's just how he talks.
I know, but like it's. I don't know. It's been getting to me. I don't know why.
It's just you've had too much of him in the past couple.
I think
years.
So because between like was it well he was in Captain Marvel. He's
this and then he's in Spider-Man, Rogue One, Spider-Man, yeah. Captain Marvel, and then this
and Ready Player One.
Yeah, Ready Player
One.
He's been
in a lot of shitty movies. Yeah. It sucks.
He's been in a lot, and I think it's just getting to me at this point. I feel bad because like I feel like he's a good actor, but that lisp is just getting to me.
All right. So from what I'm understanding, me and John are still in on this.
Like I said, if we're going to talk about it, I will still watch.
No, two nights are out, so we don't have to. We'll give you end of season recap.
You guys really like it. I will continue. But yeah, I would say depending on what happens this next episode, I mean, maybe something's going to actually happen other than them like cutting to a titty bar every like 5 minutes for no reason.
Which is hilarious.
I'm like, why are we back here?
It's just to follow the cop.
Is it me or is it like a very, and like, not tone, but is it a dark show, like lots of shadows where you're like, if you're not in a pitch black room, like you have no idea what's going on?
I think it's your, I truly think it's your projector. Cause I was sitting there watching. Yeah. That's the second time I've watched it. And your darks are wicked, wicked dark.
I would agree with that, but I watched that episode of Game of Thrones where they used zero light. And I feel like I could see better in that episode than I could in this show.
If you were watching it on your tablet or something, I think it would be better.
Well, yeah.
Better for you. There are darks in this show, clearly, but the quality that I was watching it on is not.
Well, you were watching it on a tablet.
This episode, yes.
Yeah. So this episode
before was
the two before, it wasn't bad.
LCD.
This episode, like every time they went to the titty bar and stuff, like I was like. I think, or like, even like when they were in the barn.
It was at night, Sean.
I know that, but like, it was like, I was like, I think I see what's going on, but like, I'm not 100%.
They didn't really want you to see what was going
on. And it was just, I don't know, it was just distracting to me.
Yeah. I have heard other people with that complaint, although frankly, I have not noticed that. I think it's just everybody's TV's on like a little bit of a different setting, maybe.
Everybody is.
Yeah.
I think, but like, it should be something, cinematic. You know, as a showmaker,
right?
You know, you should be cognizant of.
Because this whole thing came up with that episode of Game of Thrones where, like, they were like, well, you know, TVs are turned. It's like, I understand that TVs are a certain way, but as a showrunner or as a director, you should know that these things exist and you should adjust towards them. Because I do agree. I bet with a tablet, if I turn the brightness all the way up on a tablet or my phone, I would be able to see much better. But, I mean, I'm not doing that. I'm watching it on the TV, just like most other people. If this was designed for a tablet, it should have just come out on, like, the HBO Go app or whatever it is now, HBO Now.
Well, we should move on.
So, all right.
Before this turns into a Dunkirk.
All right, let's talk about a more interesting murder.
Yes.
I guess a little quickly here. Well, so Chris saw Knives Out. Sam and I previously seen it and reviewed it. But it's a movie that, frankly, probably should discuss with spoilers, mm-hmm. if you're going to discuss it at all. So we're not going to spend super long on it, but we're going to go a little spoilery into it. But I guess we'll start with Chris. Just what were your thoughts?
So my initial thoughts of this movie are it was good. It was a fun movie to sit through. I didn't get kind of bored with any of it. There was a couple lull parts. I think that there were some unnecessary things that you didn't really need to get involved with, particularly the whole political fight amongst family members, whatever.
It was a little like just a little bit like clumsy like writing with that.
Yeah, I think it was shoehorned in there to try and make a I don't want to say Oscar worthy statement, but political statement.
I think it was just
to have a message.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was more there because these characters are just archetypes, and that's how they would. That's if they were existed now. That's what they would argue about.
I think it was it was clearly. I mean, if you try and look at the political spectrum, it was really like these are Trumps. All of these are Trumps.
Well, then you had the. Was it? She was the sister-in-law?
Yeah, the like hippie sort of
the hippie one. Yeah. Who's like clearly just an idiot.
Yeah, the hippie.
Well, they're all. I mean, at the end of the day, they're really all just idiots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Regardless, that whole fight scene, it was number one, it was way too long, and then number two, did you really need it in there? I mean, you could have. I think it would have been more effective if was this Shannon's character at the end was threatening. Oh, damn it, I forgot her name already.
Anna de Armas?
Yeah, he was threatening her in the back hallway. I think it would probably have been a little bit more effective where he says, I know about your mom, I know she's here illegally, you know, we'll do all this. It could have been more effective if it was done that way instead of doing this whole setup thing where, you know, all the family hates immigrants and she's one of them. So, that's beside the point. I think this was fun. I think the ending was a great ride.
Oh, yeah.
I think my two favorite people in this were Chris Evans, shockingly. I didn't think he would be as good as he was, but the one that steals it is Daniel Craig. Once you initially get over that awful accent.
Once you realize, like, that's kind of the point of the character. Yeah. He's supposed to be, like, this caricature, like most of the characters in this, where it's just like, he's just silly.
Absolutely. I think he was spectacular in this. And it really shocked me because for some reason I always have this standard James Bond, Daniel Craig. That's just it is. That's who you will forever play. And then he comes out with this and you're like, damn you.
Oh yeah, bravo. He's actually a good actor.
Right?
I think it's just funny how like Daniel Craig, like at this point in his career, he's like, he's either going to be James Bond or have some weird Southern accent between this and, like, Logan Lucky. And, like, I couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah. I think, I mean, this movie, I think, falls kind of where it should be in general overall movies of the year.
Yeah, I think, like, if this came out last year, this would be a Best in Picture nominee. But I think this just ended up being, like, just kind of on the fringe where, like, you know, it was a good year and it's not going to make the cut.
Yeah. I think he should have got, I think Daniel Craig should have got a nom. He wouldn't have won, but I think he should have got a nom over, well, looking at the five, I haven't seen a couple of these, but Jonathan Pryce, I guess, for the two popes. I think he did better than Jonathan Pryce. So I think,
I'd say that's kind of.
I don't want to say it's a snub because the movie as a whole isn't spectacular, but yeah. for me it's definitely top 10, maybe top 5 of the year. I think this movie was really, I mean, bravo to what the hell, who's the guy who directed it?
Rain Johnson.
Yeah, bravo to him. Right. After coming up,
you make good movies though.
He's
right,
coming back after the debacle that is episode 8. So
have we talked about that one?
Yeah,
I know Sam loves it.
I don't know. I think you did a really good job with this. It was clearly a very well thought out script and direction because there's certain things that it's recapped at the end of the movie, how this happened, this is how he reacted and things like that. It was, you didn't realize it until, oh yeah, he was that way.
Yeah.
So it was really planned out, you know?
And what I liked about that was, like, that's like a, you don't do that in mystery movies where you just explain everything at the end. But, like, that movie earned that.
Absolutely.
It got to that point. It brought you along the ride. And it was like, okay, we'll just explain everything now. And, yeah, this isn't, like, a serious mystery. So we don't have to play by those rules.
Absolutely. What I really liked was how, you know, you get the first, what, 10, 15 minutes where it's very, very stereotypical of a whodunit sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then it just flips it where it's like, oh, yeah, it was her.
Yeah,
it was an accident.
Well, he actually killed himself, but he was gonna die anyways.
Right, it becomes less of a whodunit and more of like someone trying to evade being caught.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it sort of, you know, sort of inverts it a little bit.
But then you get introduced with that mystery of, well, who paid the detective?
Right.
Like, why is he
pay the detective? By the way, Chris Evans. Wait, who did?
Evans.
Oh.
Because he knew he'd find out the nurse killed him.
Yeah. He played a pretty good villain.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
I'm so shocked the hell he did. I really like him as an actor. Evans? Yeah. I really do.
Have you not seen the incredibly great movie Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I did see that. It's an enjoyable.
He's actually really good in that too.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable movie. I wouldn't say it was good, but it's definitely fun to watch.
Scott Pilgrim, it's good.
And then I watched The Gifted with the genius mathematician child.
Yeah, I remember.
I love that movie. I think that was a great. He did. I think he did really well in that movie too. So
he's a good above average actor.
Yeah,
I wouldn't call him a great one, but like. He could do a good performance.
I feel like he's getting close to the roles. Hopefully he will after, you know, Captain America's done and all this stuff. Hopefully he gets more roles where it kind of stretches his ability, because I really think he has potential to, you know, really hit home on those dramatic roles where he could end up getting a Best Actor nom for something, you know?
Yeah.
So, but
I think he's a good actor with probably a little untapped potential. I think he put it best.
Agreed. And it's hard to in this movie because Daniel Craig just freaking stole it.
Oh, yeah.
The whole time.
So, since you really like Daniel Craig, I don't know if you heard the news. Rian Johnson's working on basically a sequel to this, just following Daniel Craig's character.
Perfect.
Yeah.
As long as he takes his time, writes a good story, make sure he does...
gets us another good mystery.
And the thing is, I wouldn't be upset if it's another style of whodunit.
Oh, no, I feel like it has to.
It has to be, right?
Yeah.
I don't need to build upon and give me a new story.
Yeah, like 90% the same movie.
Yeah, give me a different characters, different story.
Different kind of mystery, but still like a murder and like an old house. And
yeah. Incorporate him in some way into it, you know? I'm not opposed to this at all.
You know, I just found the movie to just kind of be like a little bit of like a throwback. Like, it was just like a really interesting story, a great like ensemble of actors, like all kind of like pitching in, and you know, just it's not a story we already knew. It's not like IP or whatever. It's like an original idea, God forbid. Which, you know, I guess we kind of have to cherish because they're so few and far between. But it was nice to see, and I'm glad, and I hope even if we get a sequel to this, which I guess will then technically make this IP. But you know, I'd be happy to see another one.
Yeah, you guys gave this ratings already.
Yes,
8.9 for whoever's first.
John.
8.9 for John and a 9 for Sam. I give this an 8.4.
All right.
So
you hated it.
Yeah, God.
Yeah, of course. Of course I did. No, I really like this one. I think just a couple things were in there that didn't really need to be.
Plus, it's just an easily recommendable movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can recommend this to anybody.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen a more, like, easily recommendable movie, like, in quite a long time.
It's weird. So this week I didn't watch Knives Out, but I watched another whodunit classic movie, Shot in the Dark, with Peter Sellers, because I needed a good laugh this week. So it's on Amazon Prime. If you've never seen it, definitely worth a good look. It's got a great whodunit twist at the end.
So, John, since you saw Shot in the Dark, right, but you haven't seen Knives Out,
right?
Imagine like Shot in the Dark, but it's not goofy comedy.
Right.
I mean, there are like goofy bits.
Right. But it's more like played off seriously than with
Inspector Clouseau. It's played straight.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
that's a Pink Panther movie?
It's technically a prequel to the Pink Panther, but it came out after. It came out the year after
the first one.
It is because it's a prequel to the Pink Panther. But the Pink Panther came out in 1963. Shot in the Dark came out in 1964. And it's the only one.
It's like an Indiana Jones 2 kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But so instead of it being like who stole the gem, it's literally a who killed this person. And it's solving the crime, and it's a fun roller coaster ride because it is. I mean, it's Peter Sellers at his best. I mean, and if you've never seen a Peter Sellers movie, I feel bad for you because he's hilarious. So
yeah, go see Doctor Strangelove, which is oddly appropriate today as the Doomsday Clock moved up again.
So. Oh, did it? What are we at now?
100 seconds, which I didn't even realize was a thing.
Oh, okay.
I don't have much time.
Yeah.
Any particular reason why it moved up today?
I think they just do it like annually or whenever they feel a need. And, things have happened in the geopolitical world.
Just the whole Iran situation kind of thing and what happened in Russia recently. And
like North Korea, and there's like a bunch of people,
it wasn't updated then.
They don't do it when things happen. They like meet every so often and they update.
Do you think this whole Doomsday Clock contributes to actual? No, this is a different discussion for a different.
I know, but no, it doesn't contribute to world.
You sure?
Yeah,
because
I
doubt it.
No. Anybody really cares?
Nobody's like, oh, I want it to be sooner. Let's kill a bunch of innocent people.
No, but it would be. Oh, the end of the world's coming because the Doomsday Clock says it's, you know,
I mean, this
50
is,
seconds away.
But the Doomsday Clock has been around for what, 60, 70 years?
I don't know, Nixon.
It was around that.
I think it was Kennedy or something.
Yeah, yeah. It was the Kennedy.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, with the missile crisis.
I think. What was it? The Cuban Missile Crisis was 2 minutes, which was previously the. I don't know if they're right or not. I mean,
who knows?
Let's get into the geopolitical part of Knights and Nerditude. Yeah. It's been 205 episodes or fucking whatever.
Oh boy!
But now we're.
Yeah.
Sam, what's your take on Bloomberg so far in this primary?
On that note. All right, let's tie this up. Next week, we're going to do our year coming up show. Yes. So it's going to be the movies.
2020 year.
2020 movies, TV, and...
We'll be looking forward with 2020 vision.
Yeah.
And, except I don't think any of us have. Maybe Sean, but that's about it.
Oh, I think I have the best vision of us all.
What are you talking about, blur over there?
Yeah. I have perfect vision right now.
So. Yeah, it's weird that I'm the only one without glasses.
See, I can't wear my glasses with the headphones because it hurts my ears.
Well, that's why the sounds are all off probably. All right, let's end this now. But next week we're going to do 2020, and then maybe we'll see Wandering Earth. We'll finally see Wandering Earth.
Yep.
We'll swear, we'll see.
I know, it's just been busy. Anyway, so if you like all of our episodes, you can find them on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. Send us a message on Facebook, facebook.com, and it would be great if you can leave us a review on iTunes. That does it for us this week. Until next time.
Bye. Adios.